We're doing the Chafetz Chaim, and we've been discussing judging people favorably, and the care and concern we have to take when we see someone doing something that's questionable, not to be quick to judge, and even if we have to judge unfavorably, to be careful not to spread a bad reputation, to be careful where we wouldn't be allowed to tell over what we saw. And now the Chafetz Chaim is telling us a different circumstance and a different halakha. We're up to the fourth chapter, the seventh halakha, page Kuf Gimel. V'chol elu hadinim shekatavnu, all the laws we learned until now, hu davka be'isha sheminhago v'dorko li'itcharet al chata'av. That is specifically with regards to a person who ordinarily regrets when they do something wrong. Avlim bachante dorko. But if you've noticed this person's path, ki ein pachad elokim neneged einav, that this person doesn't care. He doesn't have any fear of heaven. V'tamid, we're turning the page to page Kuf Daled, yityatzev al derech lo tov, the person always chooses the bad path, kama porek malav ol malchut shamayim, such as someone who removes from upon themselves the yoke of heaven, o sheino nizhar me'avera achat asher kol shar amo yodin she'avera, or else he decides, I don't care if I transgress this commandment, where everyone knows it's a commandment. And we all know people who say about certain commandments that they don't care. Dainu ben shota avera shu rotze legalot asach ote kam pamim b'mezid. It could be something a person does numerous times willfully. A person knows there's Shabbos. They know they're not supposed to drive on Shabbos, and they do. There are people who don't know, but then there are people who do know. There are people who know you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. There are people who know that... There are many things that people know and they willfully transgress. Or a person willfully stole numerous times. He took a transgression that everyone knows it's a transgression. So then, when a person does something over and over again, it's not that his desire got the better of him. Our desire gets the better of us, but when a person takes something where you see he's willfully doing it again and again, it's not a question of desire. What he's saying is, I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care what God says. I'm not scared of what God says. That's why it's permissible to speak about it in front of him or not in front of him. And if you see him doing something which can be judged favorably or negatively, you have to judge it negatively. That's why we view Madoff. Everyone knows what he did. He didn't do it once, he didn't do it twice. We don't say, he had good intentions and he donated to good causes. We say, no, he was doing everything to cover it up. Even the things that you could judge favorably, we say, no reason to judge that favorably. You use stolen money to give charity. What?
Pasco on the river chair. Like Monopoly, Pasco on
the river chair. Ah, yeah. Achei shenitchazek l'rasha gamur b'shar inyanav. So once we understand that someone's wicked in their ways, so then we're allowed to speak about them, and it doesn't matter if they're present or not present. It might not be smart to say it in their presence. They might take revenge. But this is the leniency, so to speak. V'chen amur rabotenu, and that's what our sages said, the Torah prohibits saying something negative that would afflict someone else who's of a like nation, who's of our nation. We say, it's misspelled, am she'itcha b'trov mitzvot atono b'dvarim. The Torah says specifically, amito, someone who is with you in performance of Torah and mitzvot. V'ashaloshat libo lidvar Hashem, but someone who doesn't care what Hashem says, mutalach limo b'malalav, it is permissible to say things even though they'll shame him when we speak about what he's done. It's permissible to make known what he's done that's despicable and to shame what he stands for. And our sages said further, there are people who are sycophants. They try to show that they're nice to people, they're sweet to people, but really behind the scenes, they're not. And the Talmud says, make it known. Because otherwise, when they become revealed, so then it'll be a chelel Hashem. People will say, you see, people are fakers. No, he was a faker all along. So if you know he's a faker, then let people know he's a faker. It's better to avoid the problems that'll come up later. And certainly, if you try telling the guy this is wrong and he refused to return, then it's permissible to publicize what he's done wrong publicly, and to shame him until he repents. As Maimonides writes in the end of the sixth chapter, but the Chafetz Chaim says, but be careful. There are details here, which we did not cover. This is the general rule. There are details that I write in the footnotes, and you have to know the details. So maybe we'll take a minute to look at the details, because otherwise we don't have a picture. Yeah, we'll take, let's see the details. So he says like this. He says, I'm going to speak about this at large in the 10th chapter, but the details are number one. It has to be that the things for which you're saying he's a wicked person, it's something that you have witnessed. Unless everyone knows that this person does this. I'm saying everyone knows that there are certain Jews that are out to get other Jews. Everyone knows there are people who are doing evil and they know it's wrong and they're doing it anyways. So there, if everyone knows, everyone knows. But otherwise, if I'm going to judge someone, I better know from first-hand information that I saw. If I didn't see it, then I can't judge him badly. That's number one. Either it's public knowledge, or or I witnessed it. Yes. What were you asking? Well, everyone knows that let's see, what would be an example of this? There are things that everyone knows. Everyone knows that that Olmert had the policeman beat up Jews at Amona. Okay, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that the sergeant at the time of kicking Jews out of their homes in Gush Katif gave an order that went on record where he said, make sure to hit them below the belt and try to ensure there isn't a future generation. There are things that everyone knows. If you don't know it, if it's not something that's well known, so then you reach the point where you have to... it has to be that you witnessed it personally. But I'm saying that's why very often people in the media, where some of the information is true and it's public knowledge, not all the information. Sometimes the media will go out against someone and really they're innocent. They've done nothing wrong. There were plenty of stories of innocent people where the media decided to give them a bad name, and we couldn't just go with what the media said. Take Dreyfus. Or take Pollard. Initially, the media tried to go after Pollard. You can't be quick to assume that what the media told you is true.
It makes sense. This is what I'm just saying. There are other parallels, but it seems that they're almost borrowing the same concept.
Okay. So the second detail, the first detail is either it's something famous that everyone knows, or it's something that you witnessed. The second is, if it's something that's not obviously prohibited, but you told him not to do it, well, maybe it's not a transgression. So you learned that you're not supposed to pull the bone out of the fish. On Shabbos, it's borer. So you come and you tell the guy you're not supposed to do it, it's borer, and he continues doing it. Maybe he learned that it is permissible. Maybe he learned, according to opinions, it's permissible. You learned, and you saw quite a few svarim that say, no riding a bike on Shabbos. And then you see him riding a bike, and you tell him, it says in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and it says in this response and that response, you're not allowed to ride a bike on Shabbos. And he keeps riding it. Well, maybe he comes from Baghdad, and over there, the Ben Ish Chai held, you're allowed to ride a bike on Shabbos. So no one does that. We don't do that here. But you can't say that because he does it, that's it, he's a wanton sinner. You don't know. So the Chafetz Chaim says, the second point is, if it's not something that's 100% obvious, you see him eating pork, you know he's doing something wrong, and he knows he's doing something wrong. But then there are things where, not so clear, you see him eating swordfish. So 100 years ago, one of the lines that, or 70 years ago, now, one of the rabbis said when he was fighting, the reform movement tried to develop a kashrus symbol. So they said, so this rabbi said, if you eat a reform kashrus, you could eat swordfish. Not so clear that swordfish isn't kosher. Swordfish has fins and has scales, only the scales are attached on two sides. And Rav Salvechik held that swordfish was kosher. Shh, we won't tell anyone. So you see the guy eating swordfish, and you know that's not kosher, but maybe it is. Says the Chafetz Chaim, before you go out against him, make sure that what he did is really wrong. If it's something that only seems wrong to you, you better do your homework. Third point, shelo yagdil tamlai tomi mashehi. Don't exaggerate. Sometimes we see someone doing something wrong, so that's it. We throw the book at them and we say all kinds of things against them. Wait, you're allowed to say, but even when you say it, you have to find out what it is and say it accurately. Number four, shechaven letoelet. Your intention has to be for positive. It can't be, you just for the heck of it, you're going to speak badly about him. It could be you want people to distance themselves from him. Or he's going to do tshuva when he hears people talking about him that way. Look at, what was his name? The South African judge, where they didn't let him come into the shul after Goldstone, right? So what the Jews did in South Africa was very important. Goldstone wrote a damning report about Israel, which really harmed our ability to defend ourselves. Even though we acted in Operation Defensive Shield, I think it was, or Cast Lead, we acted really to defend ourselves. He went on all kinds of false assumptions and said, this has to be verified better, this has to be verified better, but his bottom line was a damning report against us. So verify it better. He didn't. He went and wrote a report which really tied our hands to the point where the next time we had to defend ourselves, Netanyahu had a whole battery of lawyers before every time they would shoot at a Palestinian building, even though they were shooting at us and our civilians were in danger. So what he just did was endanger the lives of the citizens of Israel by saying, well, it has to be verified better, but, and then went out against us. So instead of verifying it better, he wrote a report that really harmed our security. Now, the Jews in South Africa said, we're not letting him come into the shul where his grandson's having a bar mitzvah. And
the fourth
is, you have to intend for benefit. The discussion of someone evil or the evil actions of someone has to be with the intention of a positive outcome. You're not talking about it for nothing. So the fact that they took a move and they said, we're not willing to have him walk into this shul, well, that affected him. Suddenly he realized that the Jewish people were against him. Until then, it didn't hit home as much. Now it hit home. All the papers spoke about it. Suddenly he realized, he started realizing what he'd done. The fifth point, שלא יתמין עצמו לגנותו בצינאו ופניו יחניף לו. Don't be colored. Sometimes a person is in front of the person, he plays a game like he's his friend, he speaks nicely, and behind his back, he has a different color. He talks badly about him. So if you're going to talk badly about him, do it in front of his face. Don't play that game where in front of him you're nice, and behind his back you're speaking badly about him. Unless you're scared he'll harm you. If you have to, if there are mitigating circumstances, there can be instances where you can do it. But your intention has to be for heaven. It has to be so people don't learn from him. So these are details that we're discussing. He says, these are details about someone who's done a specific thing wrong, or you have to be very careful because he's done something famous wrong. But if there's someone who has completely removed the yoke of heaven from upon him, then these details are not relevant, says the Chafetz Chaim. These are details specifically in such an instance.